Psalm 37. Psalm 37. Had a wonderful time down in Charleston. Amazing how, Brother Miller mentioning, and we see the results of alcohol, and amazing the price that is paid, not just after, but I mean, it's expensive to live that life. We went out to dinner, the wife and I, real fancy restaurant on our anniversary night, Saturday evening, and they give you that menu, for drinks, and an ounce of something is like $100. I just can't imagine. My bill was high enough. I can't imagine what it's like with alcohol. It's just mind-blowing, the price that people pay for that. And it is amazing how everywhere you go, it's just prevalent. Everywhere you go, there's people drinking. And then you wonder how they get home. But that just rang in our minds all weekend. We discussed it several times, talked about it, how amazing it is, how it affects people, how it affects our nation. And seeing all that down there and the lifestyle that people live down in Charleston, South Carolina, and it's a vacation spot. Lots of people go there, and poor little us, just we got to save our money as much as possible to try to take a trip like that. And we were able to do that, and God blessed us, and it was wonderful. But while we're down there, you see all the yachts and the nice boats that everybody has, and even the clothes they wear. They're very, that beach type wear where they got the button down with the, it's all flowy, and you can tell it's super expensive, and it's just amazing how you look, and in the physical eye of our flesh, we think, wow, that's so nice. Man, I wonder what they do for a living, And you think about that. It goes through your mind, man, how do they get there in life like that, where they make that much money that they can, these people that sitting in this restaurant, we're all dressed up. We never get to do this. But once every so often, dress up all nice and go out on a nice date. I don't even know what to do with myself in a restaurant like that. They treat you a certain way, and do I use this fork? What did I use the wrong one? Oh, no. I don't know how to act sometimes because it's not regular for me. But we're watching all those people in there, and this one older couple walked in, and their waitress knew them. And I'm like, man, like, they just come here all the time. It's just a regular thing for them to spend, well over $100 on a meal for them too. And amazing. And sometimes you think to yourself, why is it that the world, people in the world, are so blessed? It seems that they're just blessed people, that they do so well, and nothing ever bad happens to them, and they're just so much. I think of a coworker I used to have. He moved down to Florida, and just probably in the world's perspective, the luckiest guy you'll ever meet in your life. Like, everything good happens to him. Okay, the whole Volkswagen Dieselgate thing, he pocketed just under $100,000 in a year from that, from buying them and reselling them, and selling them back to Volkswagen, and the payouts, and just amazing how everything just always seems to work in his favor. And I used to think to myself, what is it about these people that it just seems like they're always blessed. Why do they always get it so good? What is it that, they've made this life for themselves, and they have all the things, and they have all the money, and they just, life is so good, so grand. It's like a vacation every day. you know? It just seemed like every restaurant we were in, this place called the Saltwater Cowboy, they serve seafood and barbecue. How weird is that? But it was delicious, and I just looked across the room and just, you know, probably a middle-aged gentleman, not very old, and just dressed very nicely, and, you know, it's like a regular thing. And it blew my mind how, you know, you wonder sometimes, how do these people have it so good? What is it? What is it? What is the ingredient? You know? But there is no ingredient. You know, how do they get the money, the comfort, the fun, and the freedom in the world that we have? But, you know, down deep, you don't really know what they're going through. You don't know what their life is actually like. You know, the outside looks pretty. It looks nice. It looks like they're having all the fun in the world and being able to live this luxurious life and have anything they want. But in, you know, 1 Timothy, I think of the money thing. The Bible says, for the love of money is the root of all evil. And it doesn't say money is the root of all evil. There's nothing wrong with money. There's nothing wrong with having money. But it says loving money is the root of all evil. We have to be careful. The freedom and the fun in 1 Corinthians. I'm going to look at a couple different scriptures before we get into our main passage. But 1 Corinthians chapter number 6. 1 Corinthians chapter number 6. In verse number 12, it says, all things are lawful unto me, but all things are not expedient. All things are lawful for me, but I will not be brought under the power of any. Man, you know, we can have anything. Really. We can have anything we want. We can go places, we can buy the cars, we can have the TVs and the fancy houses, and we can have all these things, but it doesn't mean it's good for us. The Bible says it's lawful, but not expedient. Sometimes having everything is not always good for you. And all these people that I saw this past weekend, that sometimes the initial thought is, man, they've got it pretty good. But maybe they don't. Maybe they really don't. What are they missing? Well, we know as Christians what they're missing. They're missing the most important thing. That's Christ. They're missing Christ. They're missing the relationship that brings true freedom in life. You know, when you have things, you almost become enslaved to them. You know, when you have a house, have a nice lawn and you have nice things, what do you have to do? You have to take care of them. You're enslaved to them. You know? And obviously a lawn is an everyday thing, but fancy cars. We have fancy cars come into work all the time. Right now we've got this fancy 2015 Jaguar XJR. You know, it's probably like a $120,000 car. 40,000 miles on it. It's got all these problems. Like, man, I cannot imagine owning a six-figure vehicle that 40,000 miles down the road, I have to spend thousands of dollars to repair things. I can't imagine. So with all these nice things, it doesn't always mean freedom. Sometimes you become enslaved to the things that you have. And the one thing that they are missing is Christ. The one thing they can have complete freedom and joy in is Christ. And that's our job. Our job is to share that with them. So let's look at Psalm 37. Psalm 37, we're going to look, start in verse number 1. If you would please stand with me with respect for the reading of God's Word. And we're going to read just a few verses here, and then I'll pray. Verse number 1 says, fret not thyself because of evildoers, neither be thou envious against the workers of iniquity. For they shall soon be cut down like the grass. wither as the green herb. Trust in the Lord and do good. So shalt thou dwell in the land, and verily thou shalt be fed. Delight thyself also in the Lord, and he shall give thee the desires of thine heart. Commit thy way unto the Lord, trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass. And he shall bring forth thy righteousness as the light, and thy judgment as the noonday. Rest in the Lord, and wait patiently for him. Fret not thyself because of him who prospereth in his way, because of the man who bringeth wicked devices to pass. Cease from anger and forsake wrath. Fret not thyself in any wise to do evil. For evildoers shall be cut off, but those that wait upon the Lord, they shall inherit the earth. For yet a little while, and the wicked shall not be. Yea, thou shalt diligently consider his place, and it shall not be. But the meek shall inherit the earth, and shall delight themselves in the abundance of peace. Let's pray. Lord, thank you so much for the day. God, I'm grateful, Lord, to be here tonight. I'm grateful to be home in my church with my church family. Lord, I always miss it when I'm away, and God, I pray that you would help us tonight, Lord, to take, Lord, what we stand in need of, and that is of your help. God, we need your help. In this day and age where, Lord, things and money and, Lord, all the happiness that comes, quote-unquote, with the things that we have, Lord, sometimes it becomes the most important thing. Lord, that is what defines us. God, I pray you'd help us as Christians, Lord, to keep our mind and our eye on the big picture. Lord, the whole puzzle, not just the piece. Lord, we need your help tonight. God, I pray that you'd help me to be clear. God, I pray you cleanse me of my sin, myself, and fill me with your Spirit, God, that I might be effective. Lord, that the Word of God would go forth and sink into our hearts and lives, and Lord, that we would, Lord, grasp it and take it and use it. Lord, be doers of the Word, not just hearers. Give us a wonderful night tonight. Blessed with the Shane, with the teenagers. Lord, I pray you be with them as well. We pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen. You can be seated. My title tonight is The Big Picture. You know, sometimes we get, as Christians, we have to be careful about what we see in the now, the short term. Because that's all we see. We don't know what's going to happen tomorrow. Thank God I know who does know what's going to happen tomorrow, so I can trust him with it. But you know, that's the amazing thing. The difference between us and the lost is that we have assurance in the one who holds tomorrow. You know, we lost, they have no idea. They have no faith in anything. Except for themselves. Themselves, their things, their money, their cars, their houses. You know, they have their faith in their things, but they don't even know if it's going to be there tomorrow. They don't know if they'll be there tomorrow. Themselves. It's, we have that assurance as Christians. But sometimes, even as Christians, we get distracted with the short term. With the now. We see the short term, or just the piece of the puzzle. Whereas God has already got the whole thing put together, and sometimes we don't step back and look at the whole thing. But God shows it to us. It's amazing. But here in Psalm 37, God wants us to look at the big picture, or the whole puzzle, however you want to look at it. He instructs us, and with instruction, he gives us promise. This is amazing. My life verse is in this passage. And God, it's amazing how God illuminated this and just brought it to light to me. Amazing how God does that. Proves that the Bible is a living word. It is not dead. This book right here will speak to you. But you have to read it. You have to read it. So he gives us instruction. Look down here in verse number 3. Okay, verse number 3 says, well, let's start in verse number 1 again, all right? Fret not thyself because of evildoers. neither be thou envious against the workers of iniquity. For they shall soon be cut down like the grass. By the way, if you're lost, you are working iniquity. You are a sinner. You are dead in your sins if you are lost. That means you are a worker of iniquity. And the Bible tells us not to be envious of them. I don't know about you, but sometimes in life I have caught myself being envious of the workers of iniquity. Because, man, not this weekend I didn't, okay, because I knew this. But this weekend, just thinking about it, seeing all these people that live a life of luxury, you know, you think to yourself, sure would be nice to live that way. Sure would be nice to live like, hey, let's go to the, you know, let's go out to the ocean today. Let's get on the boat. You know, let's get on our yacht and let's just sail over to wherever. You know, let's just sail down to Florida. You know, I mean, it's amazing how they live that life. Let's just go to this restaurant, you know, a couple hundred bucks for our dinner, no big deal. You know, we were sitting there at the Peninsula Grill, and a family of like six came in there and sat down. And I'm looking at my wife, I'm like, I do not want to see their bill. A family of six, you know one person is getting the bill, okay? You just know it. One person's getting the bill. And it's just amazing how sometimes, as Christians, we sit there and we think to ourselves, man, it sure would be nice to live that life, just relaxing, go where you want to go, spend the money you want to spend, never have to worry about looking at the bank account. You know, every time we spent 30 bucks on some sunglasses down there, two pairs, they were on sale, 15 bucks a pair, polarized. I'm telling you what, we splurged. And check the bank account, make sure we... It was just everything, every time I'm thinking to myself, man, we gotta be careful, you know, we don't want to go crazy. But wouldn't it be nice to live that life where you can go crazy? Man, I mean, it would be wonderful. However, I would think that, and then at the same time, I thought to myself, you know what, not at the expense of my soul. Not at the expense of my soul. The Bible says, I'm going to butcher this, but he who gains the world and loses his own soul. You know, we could have everything, but at the expense of my soul, no thank you. I remember when, it's kind of funny, this keeps coming back to me. The Lord must have been working on me even when I was in church. Went to a wonderful church Sunday. I praise God for churches of like faith that He's planted in other areas. We went to a phenomenal church down there, Pastor Sears. But while he was preaching Sunday morning, Brother Caleb Garraway's quote kept coming back to me. And I do not have it in front of me tonight, so I better make sure I say it right. I couldn't say it right there. But God, minus nothing, equals everything. No. God plus nothing equals everything. God minus everything equals everything. If we have nothing, as Christians, if we have absolutely nothing, and we're, you know, living paycheck to paycheck, and we struggle to catch the bills, we struggle to meet them, to pay them, man, we can't pay the, you know, $30 water bill or the $80 electricity bill. Or, man, I don't know if I can do this week. What's amazing is if you have God, you have it all. We have it all. Man, we are so blessed. And yet sometimes we find ourselves envying the workers of iniquity. Wouldn't it be nice to have all that money? Maybe. But not if I'm a lost person on my way to hell. That money is worth nothing to me. That money will do me absolutely no good. You know what it does? It brings me temporary joy. The Bible says that sin is pleasurable for a season. I believe that. I have seen that. It is pleasurable for a season. It only lasts for a short time. The Bible says life is but a vapor. I wonder how short a season is to God. If a vapor, you know, our life is, you know, the average lifespan is like 75 years old or something. mean, if a vapor is 75 years to God, what's a season? Man, that sin is only pleasurable for a little bit of time. Not very much. Man, God help us sometimes. But the Bible says in verse number 2, "For they shall soon be cut down like the grass." I cut my grass about once a week. That means their joy won't last long. They're not going to last long. They're going to be put in their place at some point. "And wither as the green herb." Verse number 3, "Trust in the Lord." There's our instruction. Remember I said we have instruction. God instructs us and then gives us some promises. So that's what we're going to look at tonight. Verse number 3, "Trust in the Lord and do good." Sounds like an instruction to me. Sounds like a command. We are to trust in the Lord and do good. That's action. That is putting our faith to action. As Brother Doug would say, put legs on it. Or something like that. He says something like that. Put legs to your faith. I think that's what he says. But you put action to it. Not being just a hearer of the word, but a doer. We do good. Trust in the Lord and do good. So then what? "So shalt thou dwell in the land, and verily thou shalt be fed." So, if we trust in the Lord and do good, that's obviously some salvation in there. If you're already saved, trust in the Lord with what you have. For the everyday things in life. And what happens? The outcome is that we will dwell in the land. Hey, we're alive. And God will provide. God will provide our every need when we trust in Him for everything. He will provide. We are alive. He gives us life, not just eternally as a Christian, but also here on this earth to live. And He supplies our every need. We will not be in need. We may not get all the wants. You know, looking across the restaurant, looking at the dude all dressed up fancy and he's got all the money. We may not have that kind of life. But God will meet our needs. He promises that. So the instruction, "Trust in the Lord and do good, so shalt thou dwell in the land, and verily thou shalt be fed." Number 2. So number 1 is trust. Number 2, delight. Verse number 4, "Delight thyself also in the Lord, and He shall give thee the desires of thine heart." So delight thyself also in the Lord. Delight in the Lord. We have to spend time with Him. Delighting in Him. This is Him delighting in Him. We delight in the time we spend with God. Enjoy it. Don't make it... It shouldn't be a chore. I would rather see somebody who maybe they miss a day every now and then are their devotions, but when they spend time with God, it is true, real time with God, than the guy who says, "I never miss a day," but he says it like that. Like, congratulations, you never missed a day. You sure don't sound like you enjoy it too much. I mean, isn't that terrible? Hopefully, it's not a chore to us. It's not something that, I've got to read my Bible. I'm running late this morning. There are a couple verses. I can read like 2 verses. Awesome. Out the door. What good did that do you? It didn't. But man, the guy who... late this morning, rushes out the door, gets in the car, and just starts talking to the Lord. I mean, obviously, we need the time with God in His Word. Quality, not quantity. You want quantity. Quantity and quality. Get both. That'd be great. But I think we all know life happens. Not all, you know, I don't know about you, but since the day I've gotten saved, I have missed days in my devotions. No, I've missed a lot. God knows I fall short, but thank God for His grace. And I want quality time with God. Delight thyself also in the Lord. So there's the instruction. And He shall give thee the desires of thine heart. There's the promise. So we delight in the Lord. We spend time with Him. We get to know Him. We grow in Him. And the outcome is He gives us the desires of our heart. And don't get me wrong, okay? This does not mean, I think you all know this, that you're just going to all of a sudden get all the things you want in life. It doesn't work that way. Okay? What happens is when you spend time with God, His will and path for your life become your only desires in life. He gives you... tell me what, when you spend time with Him, the more I spend time with my wife, the more I love her. The more I enjoy my time with her. The more I get to know her. The more I want to make her happy. My own personal things, I tend to start to kind of, it's not as important. Why? Because I know what she wants. I know what she expects and wants from me as a husband. As we delight and spend time with God, we end up finding out what God wants for us. What does God want? What you know, spend time in God's Word. Oh, God wants me to do that. Well, you know, if I have to do that, if I have to go to church 3 times a week, I'm going to have to, like, you know, not go out on this night. I'll just switch it. You know, I'll put mine on the back burner. I'll just, you know, put it on hold for now and make sure I'm in church. Your desires become God's desires for your life, along with the desires that He has put in you. Because God created you. God knows the likes and dislikes you have. He knows the things you want in life as a person. There's nothing wrong, you know, the thing up here, the brain, that you think about all these things that you would love to have in life. God knows you think about those things. And they're important to Him because they're obviously they're important to you. But when we put God first and we delight in Him first and put His will before ours, God will, in turn, He gives us the desires of our heart, which the most inner person. He gives us the things that we start to see He wants. And then, after that, He'll start giving us the things that we really wanted in life. Some of the things that aren't so important, you know, they're not the most important thing in the world, but it'd be nice to have. And then, as you obey the Lord and grow in Him and delight yourself in Him, and He starts blessing, then He blesses you. Wow, I didn't need that. Thanks, Lord. That's awesome. I got that. It's fantastic. God blesses. Overflowing. The Bible says, pressed down, shaken together, and running over will men give unto your bosom. When you put God first and do God's will first, then God blesses in turn. When you say, oh, we can't tithe this week, I'll put that money away for vacation. You are going to have a sorry vacation. Something's going to happen to you, and don't think that's what we do, because I know we have some struggle problems on our vacations sometimes, but that is not what happens, I promise. By the way, this trip we had no problems, so just for the record. But when we put God's will first and we start delighting ourselves in the Lord, He gives us these other desires that are what He truly wants. You want to make Him happy. Just like the more I spend time with my wife, the more I want to make her happy. You will do the same thing. The more you spend time with God, He becomes more than just a book. He becomes more than just 5 minutes in the morning to make sure I read my Bible. He becomes more than, Lord, I got this problem. I really need to take care of it. All of a sudden, I got an emergency. 911, Lord, that's not how it works. The more you spend time with God, the more you delight yourself in Him, the more important the things of God become in your life. So number one, trust. Number two, delight. He promises to give you the things that your inner man, who is close to Him, desires. Number three is verse number five, commit. Commit thy way unto the Lord. Trust also in Him. Man, he puts that word trust in there again. God really wants us to trust Him, doesn't He? It's pretty important to Him that we trust Him. But commit, look at this. What way? Thy way unto the Lord. Trust also in Him, and He shall bring it to pass. Commit thy way. Your direction. The thing that you want in life, you say, God, this is what I really want in life. But, Lord, You know that. So, let's go after Your will first. And Lord, maybe they'll line up at some point. But if they don't, I want Your will first. Ultimately, we should always be seeking God's will. You guys have heard me say this before. I thought never in a million years that I would ever be able to work on both ways as a job. Ever. But you know what? I was always willing to put that aside. Like, you know what, Lord? I would really love to do this one day. It'd be great. But, I mean, I've never gone to school. There's no way anyone's going to hire me. On my way back, Lord was cultivating me. This was when I didn't have a job. Man, talk about faith. Man, I was struggling. It's rough. I was without a job for like a month. It's hard. And I get a text message for the Lord to give me what I always wanted to do. Did I need to do it? No. I could have got another job. Something that, you know, didn't have entail school or anything like that. Could have got me something else. That's fine. But no, because I was faithful to the house of God, and I'm not bragging on myself. This is truth. Because when you delight yourself in the Lord, you walk with Him daily, you put Him first, then He gives you the things that you really wanted. Now, I'm not saying it always works out that way, okay? It doesn't always work out the way it worked out for me. It's not the same for everybody. Everyone's relationship with the Lord is different. God has a different plan for everybody. And I know that the Lord one day is going to take me out of working on Volkswagens and He's going to put me in the ministry. I know that. One day. I don't know when. God's time. I'm waiting for it. But you know what? God has me here. God has me here doing what I'm doing. Being faithful in my church. Being faithful to my job. Being faithful to my wife, my family. And doing what He wants me to do. Leading songs in this church. Leading the choir. Doing the sound. Friday Night RU. Man, I love it. I love every second of it. That was God's plan for me. God has a plan for you. Commit thy way to the Lord. Trust Him. Because He may change it. Remember, when you delight yourself in the Lord, your desires tend to change. When you commit your way to God, God, I really want this, but Lord, Your will first. You may never get what you originally wanted. May never get it. He may change it, but the outcome will be He will bring it to pass. He will make it happen. Putting your will aside, trusting in His, He will make it happen when you commit your way to Him. The big picture is eternity with God. The whole puzzle, or the big picture, is eternity, is heaven. That's the big picture for us as Christians, is heaven. to spend forever, and we'll never be able to wrap our brains around that one, spend forever in heaven with God Himself. What an amazing thought. That is the big picture. So guess what else? Guess what all really doesn't matter? The things, the money, the beautiful houses, the wonderful cars. It doesn't matter. Because heaven is the goal. Living for God is the big picture. So don't get distracted on this piece of the puzzle. You know, we spent so long. Me and my wife love puzzles. Sometimes we just get distracted on this one piece. Man, where does this go? It gets frustrating, doesn't it? It does. Who does puzzles? Come on, who does puzzles? It's that one piece that you can't find. I know. I've been looking at it too long. Sometimes you gotta step away. But that one piece, we get distracted. Like, man, I don't know what this thing is. It's cool though. You stare at it and try to find where it goes. When all we have to do is you just look at the picture. You look at the whole picture. You know, well, yeah, I'll find it eventually. It's on there. Then you step away, go grab a drink, or like a lemonade, okay, or something. And then a little snack, bite on something. Then you come back, and I have done this so many times, I kid you not. Just walk away for like 3 minutes and come back, and I'm going to grab that same piece. Like, oh, goes right there. Look at it for like 2 seconds, and you find it. God wants us to see the whole picture. He doesn't want us to get distracted on the little pieces of life. Look at the whole thing. The big picture. That's all there is to it. When we get distracted on the things of life, all the nice things that we could have, or all the money that we could make, or it really doesn't matter. How many souls have we seen saved? Guess what? The prize for that isn't heaven. That's eternity. That's what really matters. That is the big picture. Lord, help us. Lord, help us to not get distracted, but to see the big picture. Eternity. Don't get distracted. And I know in a way this could be geared toward younger people. But, man, sometimes as adults, we get distracted. There's like a midlife crisis thing. I haven't seen it yet. Thank goodness. But there's a midlife crisis thing, I don't know, with adults. They go buy their fancy sports car. They,
oh, we've got to have this 85-inch TV. It's going to be awesome. You know, and it's like $8,000, but I don't care. You know,
it's like they do you do the craziest thing because we see the little piece of the puzzle. Little piece of the puzzle, we don't see the whole thing. We're focused just on this one thing. I gotta have it. No, you don't. Patience. Delight yourself in the Lord. Let's get focused on the real thing here. Let's stay faithful to church. Let's stay faithful in our devotions. Stay faithful to the ministry that you're in. You know what? If you're not in a ministry, get plugged into one. We have a lot of them. Use help in a lot of them. Because that is what truly matters. Not all the things, all the frivolous. There's a reason that they're called frivolous things. Because they don't matter. That's not the most important thing. So let's stay faithful. Let's look at the big picture of what God wants. Let's trust in Him. Let's delight in Him. And let's commit our way to Him so that we can see Him do amazing things with our lives, with our church. Hey, revival starts in here. It's not going to be some bombastic service where 50 people come to the altar. That's not going to be revival. revival is going to be waking up first thing in the morning, whatever time that is. Okay, I know it's different for everybody. Waking up, spend time with the Lord, and He gives you the golden nugget. He gives you the most amazing truth out of His Word. That is where revival starts. It starts in your home. It starts in your life, in your own personal walk with God. So you have to have one. To see revival, to see God work, you have to have a walk with God. It's not just going to come out of nowhere. It's like the Big Bang. It's like the Big Bang Theory. The revival that everybody expects is like the Big Bang Theory. It doesn't exist. It's not going to happen. Never did happen. God starts it. He started creation, and He will start the revival in your heart. But it has to be from the Word of God. It has to come from God. Because everything comes from God. It's the way it works. Let's look at the big picture, not the frivolous things of life. Lord, thank You so much, God, for Your goodness, Your grace to us. Lord, I